We are back here on the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. Thanks so much for joining us today. We are live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, and powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Reminder, we've got the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis coming up 9 to 11 here today on the Fan. Also, Wade versus Diener is back for year three. Join NBA stars Dwayne Wade and Travis Diener on June 27th for the Champions for Literacy celebration as they make an impact in Milwaukee and at Marquette. Tickets on sale, wadevsdiener.givesmart.com. Joining us now on the Fan guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law, is the one and only Dan Kotnick. You can find him on social media, specifically on Blue Sky, at Dano the Mano. Dan, it is wonderful to be back chatting with you. How are you doing, my friend?
It is great to be back, Andy. Good to see you, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and yes, it has been, about a month since I think we've talked last, and last time we had some fun, did some a little more game show type of activity. What I want to do today, though, is I haven't had the opportunity to go through and look at this NFC post-transactions, draft, trades, free agency, etc., and kind of just look at where these teams rank, kind of power rank these 16 teams in the NFC, and I thought, you and I today, what better way to kind of finish up a Friday than power ranking the teams in the NFC? So let me ask you, do you want to start from the top or do you want to start from the bottom? Go from 16 to 1, 1 to 16. What's the easiest way to do this?
At the risk of associating myself with Drake, let's start from the bottom and we'll work our way up. Yeah.
All right, deal. All right. So number 16, I think this is an interesting conversation in and of itself. What are some teams that you're potentially thinking of here as the worst team in the NFC?
Well, spiritually, the Chicago Bears are always the worst team in the NFC. On the field, for me, it's a two-team race between the New Orleans Saints and New York Giants. Okay. And I saw the Saints when they came to Lambeau last year, and nothing impressed me this offseason to like change my mind about like a difference between that team that came to Lambeau and what's going to come into week one this year. In fact, they probably got worse. So it's like, I have a hard time not putting the Saints at 16. Like, it was the worst, maybe the worst team in the entire NFL.
I'm with you. I have the Saints at 16 as well. And I think whether it's Tyler Shuck, Spencer Rattler, there's at least a little bit of upside in both of those players, but I'm not expecting much from either this upcoming season. The roster's obliterated. They put together this team in a very weird way. A lot of their star players are just getting old. It's just really difficult to see. I think they've done enough to keep it where it's not like a 2 or 3 win team, in almost like a bad way. I think they've almost like got the roster to a point where it's going to get 6 or 7 wins, probably to their detriment. But it's a really bad team, and I think it could bottom out in a real significant way. So I'm with you. I think 16 is there as well. I'm assuming then New York is number 15 on your list.
Yeah, I have New York at 15. They're just, I mean, it's just like one step above the Saints. Like, if the Saints are just, you know, a tent in the middle of the woods, like the Giants are, you know, a rundown studio apartment with like a busted up futon kind of thing. You know, I honestly forgot that Abdul Carter was there, which made me almost start to like rethink, like, do they get a bump of like one spot higher? But it's like Russell Wilson is just here to be a meat shield for Jackson Dart. Like they're hoping he lasts for 17 games so they can get Jackson Dart a year of, you know, experience in training camps and, you know, being there for a year so that he can take over next year and not have to go and play as a rookie. And that is a terrible way to set up a franchise going into a season. And so I don't care if you have Reggie White playing, like Abdul Carter isn't lifting you up anywhere past this. Like, you have to be 15.
The quarterback room of Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, Jackson Dart, and Tommy DeVito is one of the greatest thing that's ever been assembled in the history of the NFL. There's no question about it. You could do Hard Knocks just on that quarterback room. Like, you could just have it be with those four guys the entire time, and it would be must watch. There's a couple things. I wanted to put this Giants team a little bit higher because I love Malik Nabers as a wide receiver.
Yeah.
And to your point, I think the first thing you need to do if you're a bad team is build a superpower at something. And to me, them getting Brian Burns and Abdul Carter on the edge with Dexter Lawrence, and then they also go in the third round to get Darius Alexander on the interior as well. that has the ability to be a extremely fearsome pass rush up front, which I you know, when Green Bay plays that team, like even with their good offensive line, I'll be afraid of that four-man rush a little bit. So I think they've done some good things with it. And I think, again, back-to-back Abdul Carter and Malik Nabers in the first round is potentially pretty special on both sides of the ball. But there's just nobody else I can put below the Giants at this point. So I'm with you. I'm going with the Giants at 15 as well. Then I think we start getting into some much more interesting conversation. So I'll let you take it from there. Who do you have at 14?
At 14, I'm putting the Carolina Panthers.
Yep.
I think it's just I want to believe in the Panthers so bad. I've wanted to believe in the Panthers for years because I actually really like Bryce Young as a quarterback, and I wanted to see him, you know, step up and become the quarterback that we really wanted to see. We just haven't seen it yet. And I think like this has to be the year to do it. He's gotten now two first round wide receivers the last two drafts. They went and got Tate McMillan this year. They got Xavier Leggett last year. Like you are setting Bryce Young up for the best possible scenario you can, even after doing everything you had to give away to go get Bryce Young.
Yep.
Like they're doing everything they can to set him up. This has to be the year to do it for Bryce Young.
No, I'm right there with you. I think they're 13 as well. I thought they did a pretty good job of navigating the season this past year and Bryce Young taking a step in the right direction. But I'm with you. I don't think there's anyone else at this point in the conversation other than Carolina at 14. All right, who you got at 13? Again, it starts to thicken up a little bit here.
Yeah, 13. It's the reason I was going to say, like, why I think you're right with the Saints are probably going to get 6-7 wins. It's because they play in a terrible division.
South.
I have the Falcons right above them. Like, nothing wowed me this offseason. They signed Kevin King. I'll just leave it at that. Like, one of their big offseason signings was bringing in Kevin King. And getting him another year of veteran experience and adding to his pension plan. That's what the Falcons did in the offseason, which is interesting. I like Michael Penix. I actually like him more than Bryce Young. I think they've got stuff there. Carolina seems like they have a plan in place that they're trying to get it to go, and Bryce Young can't get it to go. Michael Penix, it's like almost the opposite. Michael Penix is maybe a better quarterback. They just can't find stuff to put around him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting situation. And I think them trading their 2026 first round pick away already on a defensive to move up to get a defensive end was very foolhardy because, again, this could be a bottom, 5-10 team in the NFL this upcoming season. That pick could be extremely valuable to where they traded it. So I thought that was a really, really boneheaded move on their part. But we'll see if their pass rush is improved and if they can take a step in 2025 here. But it's intriguing and interesting that our first four, our bottom four teams in the NFC, we already have three teams in the NFC South. All right, who do you got at number 12?
I put the Arizona Cardinals at number 12 because, again, like a lot of my power rankings, it almost becomes like quarterback rankings. Kyler Murray, you know, it was supposed to be last year was the Kyler Murray show. Like, was anybody really impressed with Kyler Murray? You got one of the best wide receiver prospects in Marvin Harrison Jr. Did he become who we kind of thought yet? Like, you need him to be a top, arguably a top five, maybe top three wide receiver in this league if you're going to compete with the roster that they've kind of put together around him. And I just don't know if that developmental track is what you're going to expect out of a young wide receiver. And is that timetable on track with where Kyler Murray is? And is Kyler Murray really, you know, is he committed to competing for that long?
I think it's an interesting conversation as well. This is exactly what we're in lockstep so far, Dan, with our first five teams here. We're being joined by Dan Kotnick. You can follow him on social media at Dan O'Domano on Blue Sky. Of course, find him on the Packaday podcast as well. He's being joined here on the Gruber Law hotline, guest hotline, I should say. Who do we got at number 11?
How about them Cowboys at number 11? I'm putting the Dallas Cowboys here. Yeah. I mean, I think there's arguably a lot of people that maybe say, like, why so low? But this isn't the team of 5-6 years ago. You know, this isn't those offensive lines anymore. Zach Martin's gone. DeMarcus Lawrence is gone. So many of those players from those really great Dallas Cowboys teams when Dak Prescott was in his first couple years, they're gone. They replaced them with a lot of promising young players. I love the young offensive lineman that they got, and they went and got Ezeraku. I like the draft that they have, but like, how much is that going to move the needle in a very tough NFC East? And then you bring in George Pickens. How is that gonna clash with CeeDee Lamb? That just screams like, in a big market like Dallas, just screams like media circus, and that never works out well.
Who do we got at number 10?
Give me the Seattle Seahawks. Okay. I think they're doing a really good job of trying to put it together. I think it's just more that so many new pieces, and you traded away a huge piece in DK Metcalf, and now you're asking Sam Darnold to come in here and do this with a lot of new guys. Cooper Kupp is coming in, and Sam Darnold now has to do this without a perfect situation like he had in Minnesota, basically. Can he replicate that in Seattle? And I'm just not sure if he can do it.
Yeah, they're trying to do sort of that relaunch without doing a rebuild and trading away their quarterback, right, bringing in right. Darnold, trading away Metcalf, getting younger at wide receiver. They're in an interesting no man's land, and I think this feels about right for them. All right, number nine.
Number nine. I don't know if this may be a surprise or not. I've got the 49ers at number nine.
Yep.
I'm not really sold on. I think they're going to be really down this year. I think getting rid of Debo was a big mistake. They lost a lot of defensive snaps. I know people will still like point to Bosa being there and Fred Warner. Like, I'm still not. I've never been fully bought in on Brock Purdy. I still think when the chips are down, if you have to rely on Brock Purdy to be the guy, and the more you start to take away pieces like Debo, he's going to have to be the guy in more situations. I don't see how he keeps up. I think they're in for a down year.
They're getting old, and they've drafted very poorly, and that is a bad recipe for success. And I'm with you. I think they're going to be out of the playoffs for the second consecutive season, and I think Kyle Shanahan is going to be in the hot seat very quickly here in San Fran. We'll see. And John Lynch as well, who again is not drafted the best, and really if it not been for Brock Purdy, it's a really ugly scenario there. So yes, I'm with you. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was agreeing. Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. All right, number eight. We got we got one more outside of the playoffs, and then our top seven playoff teams.
First one outside of the playoffs. It's my first NFC North team. I'm putting the Minnesota Vikings.
Ooh, all right, spicy.
A lot of shuffle on the offensive line, and you have to see, is JJ McCarthy for real? Because Sam Darnold is gone. They pretty much pushed JJ McCarthy out of the nest and say, "Fly, little baby bird." And so, you know, he's now the youngest by terms of experience. Quarterback in the NFC North. It's a tough division. And I'm still not sure what that defense is going to, can that defense keep it up in Minnesota? So I will put Minnesota there.
I think it's an interesting conversation. I think them and the Bears kind of for that final playoff spot, that next spot in the NFC North is going to be very interesting as well. I'm assuming the Bears are coming up here at seven, or do we have one other team in between them? Maybe
yes, it is the Bears at number seven. Yeah. As much as it pains me to say, like, they are doing so much right. They made a lot of really great upgrades on the offensive line, which scares the hell out of me. Ben Johnson, I'm here in Detroit. He was a miracle worker here. I think he's going to do a lot of really good things with Caleb Williams. They still have the weapons in Adunze. I think they're going to be scary. Seven might even be too low. We really might be underselling the Chicago Bears this year.
Here's my hope. I agree with a lot of things that you said, and I still have faith that they'll bears it up in some way, shape, or form, because yes. they have a long track record in bearsing things up. So that's my hope. I do think they've been very smart this offseason, which usually does not go hand in hand with the Chicago Bears. But again, I still have faith that their incompetence in some way, shape, or form can screw this up in some way. So all right, number six, we kind of got to finish up our top six playoff teams here. Who do you have at number six?
I got the Los Angeles Rams. Matt Stafford's still a pretty darn good quarterback. And, you know, how much more can Devontae Adams bring to the table? I'm excited to see what he can do.
Number five.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm a huge fan of Baker Mayfield. As a young quarterback, I think he's going to be one of the future, like, all-stars of this league. And Hassan Reddick and Emeka Ebuka make them extremely competitive.
We're being again joined by Dan Kotnick here on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. You can find him on social media at Dano the Mano on Blue Sky. And of course, in the Pack-A-Day podcast, we're ranking the 16 teams in the NFC North. So far, we've got the Saints, Giants, Panthers, Falcons, Cardinals, Cowboys, Seahawks, 49ers, Vikings, Bears, Rams, and Bucks from 16 to 5. All right, let's get to our top four. Dan, who do you have at number four?
The top four, the hometown team for me here, it's the Detroit Lions.
Okay.
I think that they are going to lose a step without the coordinators in town. And I think really not being talked enough about nationally or anywhere else, Frank Ragnow, the center, retiring so late in the offseason like that, that's huge. Being here in Detroit, you would have thought that it was the Pope dying. when Frank Ragnow retired, when he did, it was wall-to-wall coverage for 2 days here. That's going to hurt them. And I think Jared Goff is losing a step without those coordinators.
I'm very interested to see without Ragnow, when there's no quarterback that's kryptonite, is more immediate pressure on the inside than Jared Goff. If he's clean, he's Superman. If you have pressure on him immediately, it is, like I said, a massive kryptonite for him. So I'm very interested to see what that looks like. All right, number three.
This is where I put the Packers.
Okay.
I put the Packers at number three. I think they're basically a younger version of the Lions at this point. A little bit of shuffling on the offensive line. I think they've got better. I think maybe not better overall weapons, but younger offensive weapons, a younger offensive core, younger quarterback. If they can figure out a pass rush, they're basically a young Detroit Lions, and that's really scary.
I'm hoping that you're right, except I hope they have a little bit more postseason success than those Detroit Lions have had over the last couple seasons. But I do think it's a very talented team and obviously extremely excited to see what they can do this upcoming season. All right, we've got two NFC East teams left. Who's your number two?
This might be, you know, feel like it's Mally Ann, but I have to put the Commanders at number two just because, I still really love everything that they've done. I think they're going to be competing for the top spot in the NFC. Jaden Daniels proved he was a baller. He is here to stay. He's going to be immediately challenging the Packers in week number two at Lambeau. And they went out and made upgrades exactly where you need to go with a young offensive or a young quarterback on the offensive line. Laremy Tunsil is going to be huge for them. Debo Samuel coming. I mean, like this is exactly what you want to do for the Commanders. But until someone can knock off the Eagles, I just don't know how you can ever say they're not the top team in the NFC right now.
I'm right there with you. I think the Eagles have to be one. I think the Commanders are still very intriguing, and I think they've added some key pieces. I do think there's the potential for them to fall off a little bit. I thought they had some close wins this past season, and I could see them kind of taking that Packers step back that we saw this past year where they had that unbelievable run, and then, again, it wasn't quite the same in year two, but I still think they're a very talented team and certainly are going to be in that conversation. So here is Dan Kotnick's top 16 teams in the NFC. Number one, Philadelphia Eagles, followed by the Washington Commanders, Green Bay Packers, Detroit Lions. Number five, the Tampa Bay Bucks, then the LA Rams, Chicago Bears, and Minnesota Vikings. Number nine, San Francisco 49ers, followed by the Seahawks, Cowboys, and Cardinals. And wrapping it up at 13 is the Atlanta Falcons, finishing up with the Panthers, Giants, and Saints. Dan, I cannot thank you enough. These are always fun to do. It's always great chatting with you. Where can we find all of your incredible work?
Yeah, obviously on Mondays at the Pack-A-Day podcast with Monty Moore and Camille Davis, we have an awesome time over there. We always do a lot of fun stuff, as you know, Andy. And then if you want to find me just out on the socials, like you've been saying, mostly over on Blue Sky at Dan on the Mano.
All right. A huge thank you to Dan Kotnick for joining us on the Fan Guest Hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Dan, we will do this again very, very soon. You enjoy your off season. And yeah, enjoy. Are you still in Detroit proper, or where are you at right now?
Just north of the Detroit. I moved. I did the suburb. I'm the suburb dad now.
All right. Well, make sure that you're still repping the Packers strong and making the Lions fans know that the Packers are number three in the power rankings and the Lions are number four. We'll talk to you again soon, Dan. You enjoy the rest of your day and have a great weekend.
You too, Andy.
I appreciate you. That is, again, Dan Kotnick. Follow him on social media at Dan O'Themano. It's the Packaday Radio Show. We got a lot more coming up right after this.